Welcome to Research Perch from the Massage Therapy Foundation. Short, practical insights into massage therapy research and how it can benefit your practice.
Hello, everyone. This is Doug Nelson, the president of the Massage Therapy Foundation, and welcome to another podcast from the foundation. Today, we're going to look at the process of student case reports, and I'm really excited because I have three people on the call with me who have done some really, really wonderful things. Jeff Moga is an associate professor of allied health and human performance. Lois Willidahl is also a massage therapy instructor, and this is at McEwen University in Edmonton, Alberta. And also on the line is Randy Clark, and he is president for the Center for Neurosomatic Studies in Florida. All three of you have done amazing work in guiding students through the case report, and the foundation has a student case report contest. Students from both of your schools are always right at the top. And so I thought in this podcast, we'd explore how does that happen and how is it that you are doing such a fabulous job with these students and walking them through the process. So actually, for Jeff and Lois, I'll start with you. Tell me a little bit about, are all the students doing a case report or some of them choose to do this and you help them? How does that work?
There is a really strong research focus in the program here. So the students do have assignments that involve research, and they do lead up to two case study reports that they write. One of them is in our term four of the six terms, and the other in term five. But only papers from that term five are submitted to the case study competition, and all students in those two clinical classes do case study reports and the research up to those reports.
Wonderful. And Randy, how about you at the Center for Neurosomatic Studies?
Yeah, similar. I mean, we only have three terms, but they also do two case study reports. The first term, we actually have our students go through what we call a basic research class, which is the research literacy. And kind of we've kind of transitioned that into research literacy / how to write a case report and somewhat even just how to write, because not all of our people come in with any kind of writing skills, because at their second term, they do a case study, and their third term, they do a case study. So with that, we choose three of them each year to submit to the foundation.
Awesome. And, you know, I would imagine that this is true, that students don't necessarily have that writing background, but part of this thing is also the narrative of telling a story about someone that you have seen, the lessons learned, and just creating the vehicle to express that through the context of a case report. Do you find that, Jeff and Lois, the same, that sometimes the writing aspect of it is most difficult, or what are some of the struggles that students have?
I would definitely agree that is an issue, but in the program here, we do have the six terms, which is great, but they start off with sort of laddering into doing the research. So they will start off with an English writing class in that first term, where they learn to write about a topic and cite properly. Mm-hmm. In two, then they write a paper in their ethics and relations class using APA and proper citations, and the focus then gets to be on more scientific articles. Mm-hmm. So we just ladder as we go along. In term three, they research a topic such as gait, range of motion, or pain, and then they need to talk about that topic, research measurement tools, evaluate reliability and validity of the tools, and indicate when they would be most appropriate to be administered. And they end up using APA with that. And then that's when they go into term four, where they write that first clinical case study paper using AMA format. And then they go to term five, where they will write their second case study report. And it's only the ones from that term five that we would submit to the contest. So they've had a chance to really develop their writing skills throughout.
Yeah, we definitely see an evolution from day one to, you know, when they finish that case report that they submit to the Massage Therapy Foundation, it's actually quite remarkable seeing that progression in the students. Not everybody enters the massage therapy program here with great writing skills, so it's something that's definitely developed throughout the term of the program. We do actually get some students that have a decent background in writing, which is an absolute asset for producing a quality case report as well.
Yeah, you know, and it's the writing is one aspect of this, but it's also the lessons learned in doing the work. And my hope is certainly that the students feel like the process of doing this and talking about the work they're doing with the client builds their clinical skills. And do you find that to be true?
100%. Yeah. Really, what's great about the case report, and if schools are out there listening, it's a wonderful tool to essentially put everything together that the student has learned up to that point in the program. What a wonderful tool to simply, utilize your anatomy, your assessments, your massage techniques, put those together in a very deep way and have a very deep understanding of why they're doing a technique, why it's there, the effects it has on an individual. And so it's really a great way to put everything together. I find it's a great capstone project for any program. And I would encourage other schools that aren't doing this to absolutely get involved. It's a great capstone project.
Yeah, I would agree. It's certainly listening to the program that's going on at the institution there is I'm very jealous at the time in which they have to do it. Being in the U.S., not only do we have a shorter program, but I'm running into right now, federal aid actually limits how long your program can be. So squeezing it in is a little more difficult. But certainly, I will tell you that the lesson, the value provided to the student is super, super high. I think it's a confidence builder that when they go and document the way that they need to for a report like this, that they track and they really get to see what they're doing and what the results are, and that it gives them a direct relationship. And I know many of our students have used their paper as a marketing piece once they've left school.
Wow.
We had one that did a paper on TMJ dysfunction and got great results and showed everything that we did and tracked it very well. And then started going around to dentists in their area and showing, hey, here's what I can do, and generated a lot of business from it.
Wonderful. You know, it's interesting in the writing it down. I just had dinner the other night with a really wonderful scientist, and he was saying to his students, you don't really have an idea until you can articulate it and you can write it down. And I'm sure for those students who are seeing people in the clinic and doing the process of just putting it to paper, reading it, going over that process, editing it, it just makes you clearer and makes your understanding deeper. And that's certainly what we hope from the whole case report aspect of it, that there is great benefit to the student in doing so.
I would say without a doubt that the writing down process, I get that feedback from our students quite often. They hate it sometimes.
Sure.
To be honest, yeah, right? Like it's not always their favorite class because they have to. It takes a lot of work to write a paper like this, but it's the one they're the most proud of when they graduate, and I think the one they carry with them into their practice more than any other.
Yeah, further to that, it really does inform, that creating this paper really informs their practice after graduation, creates more of a deeper thought process. I think that improves their critical thinking skills as well and really serves them well when they're out in the profession.
Yeah. You know, and to that point, Jeff, when I read these case reports that are submitted, it's a learning experience for me as the reader. That I see the process that they went through. So it becomes a way of shared knowledge. And I think for all of us, if we have those successes in the clinic, but it isn't documented and it isn't shared, it's a success that is siloed to those of us who are clinicians, right? But your students going through that process have shared that knowledge with each other in a way that really does just spread the understanding around, and what a wonderful thing that is.
Well, and on the other side of that, the the literature review that's necessary to write the paper. They're getting shared knowledge just by reading all of the papers that they need to read to write theirs.
Great point. You know, I think there's this, it's a line actually from the 15th century, but the way to write a book is to read half a library. And I know it's true as a writer, it seems like about 15% of what you read actually goes into the whatever you're doing. You know, that's a great point, Randy. In the background knowledge of whatever it is that you're researching, some of that is actually going to go into the paper. Some of it's actually going to go into the treatment room, but all of it is going to go into the, you know, to the cognitive abilities of the therapist who's taking in that information and then deciding which to use and which not. But that means you at least get a choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
Yeah, that's, you know, I didn't even think about that.
What I have really noticed with the students that graduate is that they have experience that some of the clinics don't do assessment. They've not had any experience with research. But as a result of their case studies, the students have a much higher level of confidence and conviction to actually go and interview potential employers and avoid accepting employment at a place where they cannot use their skills to the best advantage. And I think their high level of expertise and credibility is known in the industry largely as a result of their writing skills and just how those papers have helped them really improve their level of competence. And I've been contacted by ex-students who've expressed interest in continuing with research after graduation. It started out as an assignment they really didn't want to do, but then they realized that they actually enjoyed research and that it had really helped to raise the profile of massage therapy as a profession.
Wow. How wonderful is that? And again, I think it's a process where it's really affected their outcomes and affected their incomes later and made them better therapists. And that reflects well on the whole profession. So that's a tremendous thing.
I was just going to add, wanted to add how much I want to thank the foundation for putting together the student case report contest. Mm. Because the rubrics that are created, the research perch, all the support material that has been given really makes teaching this class much easier and more organized for me. And then when I'm getting them ready to write their paper and trying to convince them why it's important, sometimes saying, hey, you could win money is helpful as well.
Sure.
Very helpful.
Yeah. It's never a bad thing, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that, Randy. It's something that we really feel strongly about, and that's why doing this podcast, to hear the effect. And this is all good, but really, ultimately, it's the effect on that student and how it helps grow them as a person, grow them as a therapist, and that just benefits them personally and the profession as a whole. And that, you know, in that way, all of us are fulfilling our mission of really doing good in the world and doing good for the profession. The real beneficiaries are probably the clients who will end up seeing those students, and those students bring all that background knowledge to the treatment table. That's a wonderful thing.
Absolutely.
So is there anything that you, the three of you could think that the foundation, any resources that you would like more from us or any way that we can support you in this process?
I think like what Randy said is there's some pretty impressive resources there already. I don't even know if I've tapped into quite all you've offered, quite honestly, but I think what you have there is excellent. I think simply, I don't know if there's curriculum that can be developed, and maybe you have this already, I'm not even sure, but something that programs can embed, you know, or tips or tricks to embed research focus or research stream within courses. So it can just be small things that can be added to courses that, you know, will bring that course back to a research focus. So I'm not sure if that's something that could be produced, something that's curriculum-based that schools could utilize and or maybe perhaps just tips and recommendations for how schools can better incorporate a research focus within their curriculum, current curriculum.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think to second that, if it were organized, I'm sure with all your spare time, if it were organized in such a way that you would be like, here's some great pieces of research to incorporate into your anatomy class. Here are some great pieces of research to go into hydrotherapy. Here are some great pieces of research, right? That you can just put in, and I could just go and be like, hey, I've got anatomy of the shoulder today. Are there any great pieces of research I can throw in? You know, if there's something like, oh, I'm doing, icing today, and what's the latest icing stuff that's out there?
Yeah.
Because, you know, anytime you can, research doesn't just have to be taught in research class.
Yeah. Right? Like, right.
It can be taught anywhere in the curriculum, and it does, it, you know, filter throughout the whole program. So if there are ways, you know, it's hard to ask every instructor, go find research and put it into your program and all of that. But if there was an easy kind of central location to grab that, that would be very, very helpful.
Well, I don't know if either of you have seen the new ebook that we put out, Integrating Research into the Classroom, but that is a free resource that just came out, and it's on the resources on our website. So if you haven't seen that, take a peek at that. But sure. These are the kinds of suggestions, you know, in an aspiration-wise approach, this is really what the foundation wants. We want to listen to you, and we want to respond by creating the kinds of materials that research shouldn't be just research for research's sake. It should also be something that, as you said, can be easily integrated into the classroom in multiple levels, making it more relevant for the students. So, and we would really, as the foundation, like to be that portal where when you're looking for this, you look to us and we want to provide that for you. So that's on an aspiration level, that's where we want to be. I can't say enough things about the work that all three of you have done and the differences that you've made in so many lives. I hope that all three of you, sometimes when you're really tired and you're really frustrated, you think about all the people that you're affecting, and those people are the clients of all the students that you have developed. That's got to be a good feeling, and I hope you savor that.
I just said it is a great feeling, but I do have to give credit to all of the instructors in the program. It really is a very strong collaborative effort from everyone. Yeah. So the assessment, massage therapy techniques and research activities are introduced in that first term, and there's a really systematic progression for acquisition and development of the knowledge and skills. And the students wouldn't get to where they are in those case study reports without having all of the instructors and the training that they've received up to that point.
Amen to that. The outcomes are great witness to this. So again, thank you for what you're doing. It's a privilege for the foundation to serve you, and we are just really impressed with what you're doing, and we want to continue that collaboration and look forward to many submissions in the future from both of your schools. Okay?
Fantastic.
That sounds great.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Lois. Thank you, Randy. Thanks for the great work you're doing, and thanks for taking the time to speak with us. Okay?
All right. Thanks for having us.
All right. Bye-bye, everyone. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Again.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider donating to the Massage Therapy Foundation so that we can continue to bring you this and many other resources to increase your knowledge and improve your practice. Thank you.